So we're talking about Ner Hanukkah and money. Geld, I guess we could say. What do I mean? There's, on Hanukkah, we always feel like we have to give a karsa tayv that we have such good parnasa and we live in such an affluent society. Because when you look at the Gemaras and the Paiskim, there's so many discussions that seem to be working with the assumption that it was not so simple to afford Ner, Shemen L'Ner Hanukkah. There's quite a few such discussions in the Paiskim. And, nowadays, for the most part, they seem to be irrelevant, but in some cases, there are nafkaminas that could come out that could still be relevant. In some cases, at least alumnus is interesting to talk about. So I want to go through a few of those discussions that have to do with people not having enough money for Ner Hanukkah or having to choose between Ner Hanukkah and another mitzvah or not having enough money for all of their neiros. They have to choose which neiros are most important. So let me start with that. Mishnah Berurah in Tavrei Shayin Aleph brings down from the Chayei Adam two scenarios. He's going on the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says that he's supposed to light, be Meisif HaHoylech. So the first night is one, the second night is two, the third night is three. Altogether, that's 36 neighbors. One plus two plus three until six, until eight, comes to 36. So, of course, a box of Hanukkah candles comes with 44 because we have a Shamash each night also. But the nearest Hanukkah, if you're Meisif HaHoylech, are 36 neighbors. So what if somebody doesn't have 36 neiros? So if he only has 8 neiros, then it's simple. He should light one each night. Let's say he has 9 neiros. And let's say he has 10 neiros. Those two cases get talked about in the Paiskim, and the Mishnah Berurah brings us down. And he says, if somebody only has 9 neiros, so then it's easy. The first night he needs one, he lights one. The second night, he needs two, he has two, so he lights two. The third night, There's only 7 neiros left. 6 neiros left, and there's 6 nights left. So it'll be one for each night. Now, what about if he has 10 neiros? So that seems pretty straightforward. If he has 10 neiros, so again, we say on the first night he needs one, so he lights one. The second night, he needs two, he has two, he lights two. The third night, he needs three, he has two. Because it's the third night, there's 7 neiros left. Now, from here on, you're certainly not going to be able to light 4 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you can only light one on the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th nights. On the third night, though, you have more than one. You have two. So the Mishnah Berurah says, don't light two. Light just one. Because to light two neiros on the third night is nishtahin and nishtaher. It's not that's not what night you're up to. The hiddur is to light keneged whatever day you're up to. But to light two candles on the second night is not Mekayim the Hiddur. So just do the Ikra Mitzvah, Ner Shabbat. Say, one Ner is enough for to be Yaitz in the Mitzvah. After that is all Hiddur. You can't do the Hiddur. So don't bother doing any of it. So it comes out very ironic that you're going to end up with a leftover Ner. At the end of Hanukkah, you're going to have a Ner left over. Everybody else is lighting many candles. You don't have enough candles. Yeah. And yet, you're not going to use all of your candles. If you have 10, so you do one and two, and then you one for the next 6 nights, so you end up using 9 altogether, and one will be left over for next Hanukkah. So that one seems to be the more surprising halacha. The first case seemed pretty straightforward. The first case that he talked about, where a person has a total of 9 neiros, can't get any more neiros. And again, the simple reading is that he's very poor and it's, the oil is expensive. So that's all he's able to afford. You could come up with, nowadays, I don't know, if it's hard to imagine a scenario nowadays that, if a person is away, he's on vacation, he's far from home, it shouldn't really make a difference. We buy our Hanukkah candles in a Judaica store, but you really don't have to. Any candle, any oil is good. So it doesn't have to be olive oil either. You could use canola oil. So it's hard to imagine that you could be somewhere where you can't get oil to light 36 neiros over Hanukkah. But let's say a person is, Rahman al-Tzlan, in prison or in captivity, doesn't have access really to any resources. So then you can have these kinds of shilas arising. So again, the case where he has access to 10 neiros. So there the Mishnah Berurah writes this chiddush that he shouldn't use all 10. He should do 1, 2, and then go back down to 1.
And on the last night, should he do 2?
No.
Because he has an extra one then.
Right, he has an extra one. No, leave it over for next year. Yeah, you get because on the last night there's a hiddur of 8. If you're not going to do the hiddur, so the base mitzvah is 1. But doing 2 doesn't do you any good.
Use the new shows.
Right. But the first case that Mishmur talked about seemed more straightforward. Over there, he's not leaving anything over. He has 9 neighbors, and he's going to use all 9 neighbors. 1 on the first night, 2 on the second night. I heard somebody said a ha'ara, I think a very nice ha'ara, that halach is also not so pasha. One can make a strong argument against this setup of lighting 1 the first night, 2 the second night, and then 1 the rest of the nights. Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara, familiar with it, says the mitzvah of Chanukah is neir shubeisai, but hamahadrin amadik neir lochalachad ve'achad, and the mahadrin min hamahadrin are moisef ha'ilech, according to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, or peichetz ha'ilech, but we'll work with Beis Hillel's shita. So there's 3 levels in neir Chanukah. There's the base package, there's the upgrade, and then there's the double upgrade. Then the Gemara says, and in that double upgrade of being moisef ha'ilech, it's being machlokes Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. And then the Gemara says, what are the reasons for Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? And the Gemara brings down Shrei Amirai. There were 2 Amirai, Rabbi Yossi bar Abba and Rabbi Yossi bar Zveda, if I'm not mistaken. Chad Amar and Chad Amar. One of them said that Beis Hillel says, Kenegid Yom HaYotzim, that it should correspond to the number of days that have gone by or that are going by. It's the first night, like 1 neir. It's the third night, like 3 neighbors. The neighbors tell you how many days have gone by. And V'chad Omar, Mishum Malam B'Kodesh V'ein Meridin, that the idea is that your mitzvah should get bigger and not get smaller, just like the idea that we find, you know, in Masechet Megillah, that if you sell Aron Kodesh, you could use the money to buy Svarim, but if you sell the Svarim, you can't use the money to buy an Aron Kodesh, because Malam B'Kodesh V'ein Meridin. So you want your mitzvah to get bigger, but not smaller. So the Gemara gives those 2 reasons, and then the Gemara adds a story. That there were 2 old people in Sidon, Rabbi Yechanan remembered. Chad asa kedivrei Beis Hillel, v'chad asa kedivrei Beis Shammai. Zen neisin tam ledvarav v'shemal mokodesh v'emi ridim, v'zen neisin tam ledvarav keneged parei hachag. The Gemara had said that Beis Shammai's reason, according to one of the explanations, was that it corresponds to the carbon musaf on Sukkot, where there were 70 bulls that were brought, 13 the first day, 12 the second day, 11 the third day, went in descending order. Beis Shammai say, oh, so I see a precedent for this idea of descending order, so that's why they say we're Moisef Ha'ilech. And Beis Hillel said, no, we're Ma'al Mokadosh Emeridin. And those 2 Zekanim and Mitzidon, they gave these explanations for their practices. That's the end of the Gemara. Now, what's interesting is that the Rif brings down the Gemara exactly the way I just told it to you. All the steps that I said, he brings the brisa with the 3 levels of the mitzvah, the base package, the upgrade, and the double upgrade. He brings the Shrei Amirai that gave reasons. One is Mishmal Mekodesh V'Emin Ridin, and one is Keneged Yom HaYotzim. And then he even brings the story there. Rabbi Yochanan says, I remember 2 old men in Sidon. This one did like this, and this one did like that. And he was nice in Talmud Varav, Keneged Parei Achag, and he was nice in Talmud Varav, Mishmal Mekodesh V'Emin Ridin. The Gra is Ma'orer, that it seems strange that the Rif should bring down the whole Gemara, including even the story at the end. What's it adding? What does the story add? That, you know, all the halachas and even all the svaris for the halachas were already said. And then the Rif says, then the Gemara brings down a story. When you're reading Talmud Bavli, that's not at all unusual. Talmud Bavli brings down stories. It's a raya to what?
To both shittas, I mean, I guess.
But one did like Beis Hillel, one did like Beis Shammai. Yeah. So it's not really a raya between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai.
Right.
And presumably, we shouldn't really need rayas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. It's interesting. There is, the Bir Halacha has an interesting, I wasn't going to say this, but you mentioned the Bir Halacha has an interesting pshat in this riff. And the Goyin asked the Kasha, why does the riff bring down the story? And I'm going to tell you in a moment what the Goyin says, but the Bir Halacha says that he had thought that maybe the Rif brought down this story because it's a very big chiddush. He says it's such a big chiddush that I'm very reluctant to suggest it in a halacha sefer. No one should pay any attention to this in the halacha. I'm just mentioning because if you're learning the sugya, I think it'll be geshmak to be mefalpel about it. But But I didn't see any poskim say it, meaning and implying, and I'm not a poskim, so it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't count for anything, Allah. But here's what he suggests. He says maybe the reason why the Rif wrote down the story, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Shnei Zekenim Betzidon, that means Rabbi Yochanan's remembering them. In Rabbi Yochanan's times, there was an old man in Sidon, there were two old men, one did like Vishil, one did like Vishamai. What do you mean one did like Vishamai? That in the times of Rabbi Yochanan, this way after Vishil and Vishamai had their machlokes and Kleister already accepted that Bisham and Machem Bishillel ain't a Mishnah, and a Baskel already went down that the halach is like Bishillel. I mean, this Zaken and Sidon, would he have married a Tsaras Erva? Would he have, you know, did he say Kriya Shema lying down in the Arvis? You don't do like Bishamai. When he was Poiches Vahilech, he was asking to be Bishamai. So the Bir Halach says that maybe the Pshat is that even though Bisham and Machem Bishillel ain't a Mishnah, but that's all when the argument is me'ikir adin. What's the real halacha? But over here, where the machlokes is only about a hiddur, the mahadrin, min a mahadrin, that are mitzvah v'halech or parches v'halech, maybe over here, you're allowed to pick and choose. If you want to do like Bishamai, even though usually we say that if somebody does like Bishamai, I mentioned, right, lying down for Kriyas Shema Arvis, the Mishnah Bracha says that they told Reb Tarfin that kedai yis halachav ba'atzmacha, that you were worthy of being killed for that. Right, so that's ordinarily, it's very bad. You're not allowed to do like Bishamai. But the Bir Halacha says, maybe over here, where it's just Mishum Mahadrim and Mahadrim, if you want to do like Bishamai, fine, do like Bishamai. And that's what you see from that story, that there was a Zakein in the times of Rabbi Yechon and Digle Bishamai, and the Rif brings it down because it's a big Chedush LaHalacha that you see from the story. That's the Bir Halacha says that he would suggest, but he says, of course, he doesn't want anyone to start doing this and say, oh yeah, it's a Mishnah Berurah. He's just doing it for the Lamedim to be mefalpel about it. But going back to the Gra, asked the Kasha, why did the Rif bring down the story? And he said it must be that the Rif saw some Chiddush LaHalacha here. And he says that he thinks that it's relevant to the major Machlokes Rishonim, really the biggest, the most well-known Machlokes Rishonim in the whole Chanukah Sugya. And its repercussions are still, you know, until today, right, people... I think it's well known that the Svaradim have a very, very different way of doing halakas ner Chanukah than the Ashkenazim do. The Svaradim only have one set of neres for a whole household. Even if you have a big household with a father and a mother and many children, there's one set of neres for the whole household. And by Ashkenazim, that's not the minhag. Every member of the household, maybe in some households, only the men, not the women, but certainly all of the men in the household has their own ner Chanukah. It's based on a machlekes Tosfos on the Rambam. When the Gemara says that Mahadrin are Malik Nir L'chol Achad V'Achad, that Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin are Moisef HaHoylech, so I called it before upgrades, right? The first upgrade and the second upgrade. So I think for learning the Tosis, it's helpful to think of it that way. Tosis says that it's a choice, you have a choice of two upgrades. You can choose this package or that package, but you can't do both together. You could do a little upgrade, which is Ner L'chol Achad V'Achad. You could do the bigger upgrade, which is to be Moisef HaHoylech. But if you're going to be Moisef HaHoylech, then don't do it L'chol Achad V'Achad. So for example, tonight is the sixth night of Chanukah. And there's, let's say, five people in the household. So you can have each of the five light a Ner. And you'll have five Neres in your window. That's fine. You can light six Neres, because it's the sixth night of Chanukah. But don't go have five people 30. Light six neiros for a total of 30 neiros, because what's 30? It's not the 30th night of Chanukah. The number of 30 is a meaningless number. So there's no hiddur in having 30 neiros in the window. So you could do your five, you could do your six. Those are the two hiddurim, right? Of course, some of the nights of Chanukah, one will be bigger, some of the nights of Chanukah, the other one will be bigger, depends on how many people in the family. But you could do Ner L'chol Achad V'Achad, or you could be Moisef HaHoylech, but don't do both together. And the Rambam argues, the Rambam, he brings it down. He said, of course, he doesn't quote Tosfos, but he brings down that the minhag, ironically, he called it the minhag in the Ari Svarad, was to do like Tosfos, that there would be one set of neiros, there would be Moisef HaHoylech, but one set of neiros for the whole household. But the Rambam says that that's not the right way to do it. The right way to do it is that your Moisef HaHoylech keneged kol b'nei abayis. And he speaks out. He says, for example, if you have a household with 10 b'nei bayis, so on the first night it's 10 neiros, and on the second night it's 20 neiros, and the third night it's 30 neiros, till on the last night you have 80 neiros. That's not like Taisus. According to Taisus, no, in the last night, you have 8 neiris. Or if you want to do l'chalach avachad, you'll have 10 neiris. But you won't have 80 neiris. The Rambam says, no, you have 80 neiris. In other words, the Rambam says that when the Gemara gives us these two upgrades, you can, if you want to combine do it all, them. You could grab the biggest package. You do all the upgrades together, the Mahadran plus the Mahadran and the Mahadran. And Taisus says, no, you either do Mahadran or you do Mahadran and the Mahadran, but you can't do both together. And since it's more recommended, Mahadran and the Mahadran obviously is, you know, Chazal telling us that's the better way to do it. So Taisus says that the right way to do it is that each household should have one set of neiros that's Moisef Ha'ilech. And that is the Minig by Svaradim. That's the Mechaber Paskins, and that's the Minig by Svaradim. It's a very ironic halacha, the way that it came down through the day race, that the Svardim, the Minig Svard, follows the Taisus' Pshat in the Gemara, and the Minig Ashkenaz follows the Rambam's Pshat in the Gemara, which is really the reverse of the way it usually works out, right? 9 times out of 10, when you have a discrepancy between the Svardim and the Ashkenazim, the Svardim are following the Rambam and the Ashkenazim are following Taisus. Over here, the Taz points this out. The Taz says that it's an anomaly, that the Ashkenazim are following the Rambam, the Svardim are following Taisus. But it's interesting that you see already in the Rambam that in his days already, the Svardim were following Taisus. I mean, it wasn't, you know, they weren't calling it Taisus. But he says that the Minig B'chol Arei Svarad is to have one set of neighbors. But I disagree. But even though he disagreed, but they didn't listen. The people, the Svardim, did the old Minig Svard, which was like Taisus.
Do we know which one was by the Taisus? Maybe it was one which was...
I don't remember if that Taisus mentions a name. I don't remember, but it shouldn't matter. I mean, all the Balei Taisus are from France.
All Ashkenazim.
Yeah. But that's the.
But they were from the south of France, the border of Spain. There was
Provencia, not Balei Taisus. No, Provencia was considered a separate medina at that time. Mm-hmm. The Balei Taisus were not from there. They all were considered Tsarfassim.
Would this be totally in the same minute like when we make Kiddush? One Balei Taisus makes Kiddush, or everybody makes Kiddush, all the children?
Very interesting.
Would that be the same?
I don't think one is totally on the other, but I think it's a very good parallel that over there you have a similar discrepancy in Minhagim, but that has its own set of factors that go into it. Talkabanam, over here you have this Machlaikas Taisus on the Rambam. So the Gra says, you know what it's totally on, this Machlaikas Taisus on the Rambam? Taisus says you can't mix together the two Idurim, and he explains why. He says, because then, you know, the number is meaningless. It doesn't show anything. And the Rambam says, no, fine. You have, like, 30 neiros, 50 neiros, that's fine. The number is meaningless. You know, people can't tell what night it is. The Rambam doesn't care. Now, incidentally, there is, you know, besides for the Rambam, what we do is not quite like the Rambam, because the Ramah says that really our minhag... Maybe even Taisus will be happy already because we're careful to put our neiros, even though we light many neiros, but they're in sets. When you look at somebody's window and it's the sixth night and there's 5 people in the house, you don't just see 50 neiros. I mean 30. You don't just see a jumble of 30 neiros. You know, we have what we call a menorah, and that lines up the neiros in a row, and you can look and see clearly that it's 5 rows of 6 neiros each. But that's because here in America, everybody for the most part is lighting in a window and there's plenty of space. But if you're trying to light Petefach HaSamach L'Pesach, if you're lighting at the doorway, and in the doorway, you can't do it in the door. Most people would have a hard time doing it in the doorway, mamash, because then you can't walk in and out. So the way they do it is that by the left doorpost, in the Tefach that's Samach to the doorpost, that's called the doorway. And there isn't really room to spread things out over there. So as many neighbors as you're going to light, they're going to really be squeezed together. So then it was likely to be just a jumble of neighbors. So Taisus said, I don't want a jumble of neighbors. Just do one set. The Rambam apparently, he didn't say, make sure you set it up the way the Rambam says that each one has a makam miyuchad. The Rambam apparently didn't care that it's a jumble of neighbors. 30 neighbors, 40 neighbors, 50 neighbors, that's great. It doesn't show you what day it is. You look at somebody's window and there's 30 neighbors. You don't know if it's 6 people on the 5th night or 5 people on the 6th night. So the Gra says that this machlekes hits in the Rambam is tolui on the Trei Amiroi that we mentioned, Rabbi Yosi bar Abba and Rabbi Yosi bar Zveda, that one said that Beis Hillel's reason is Kenegi Dama Hayotzim. And one said that Beis Hillel's reason is Mishum Malma Kodesh Ve'im Meridin. Now, if it's Mishum Keneged Yom HaYotzim, then, yeah, it has to be Nikr how many days it is. Then you would say it like Tosfos. But if it's Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meirid, so there's nothing to do with what day it is. The reason why we're Moitzav HaHelech is because we want it to get bigger, not smaller. So if tonight it's 30 in your window and last night was 24, so it got bigger. Could anybody outside tell what night it is? No, it doesn't reflect what night it is, but at least it's getting bigger. So the Indian of Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meirid, and you have the Indian of Keneged Yom HaYotzim, you wouldn't have Tosfos held that the Iker reason is Keneged Yom HaYotzim, while the Rambam held that the Iker reason is Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meirid. How did the Rambam decide that one is the Iker? Zok the Gra, that's the last line of the Gemara. That Rav Rachana said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Shnei Zikenim Hayu B'Sidon. There were two old men in Sidon. Well, one did like Beis Shammai and one did like Beis Hillel. Zendik Tentam L'Dvarav Keneged Parei Achag. V'Zendik Tentam L'Dvarav Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meirid. That last line in the Gemara tells us that the Iker reason for Beis Hillel is Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meirid, not Mishum Keneged Yom HaYotzim, and therefore we don't care if it's Nikr how many days have gone by, and that's why the Halach is like the Rambam rather than like Tosfos, that we do both upgrades together and we don't have to choose one or the other. So the Gemara says, that's why the Rif brings this down. I see that the Rif holds like the Rambam also, so therefore we should pass it that way. That's the Iker, the Rif and the Rambam. And I have a Hezbollah in the Machlaikis, that the Rishenim are arguing in the Machlaikis that the Gemara calls the Trei Amirai. So, okay, so we have this Gra, who's, I guess, he's opening the door for us in that the Trei Amirai, they gave two different reasons, there could be nafkaminas between those two reasons, and that the way the Rif and the Rambam at least read the Gemara is that the Iker reason is Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin. So now, I heard this Ha'ara over Shabbos. If we go back to the case that we started with in the Shabura, Mishabura said somebody only has 9 Neiris, so she light one the first night, 2 the second night, and then 1 each of the rest of the nights. Because at least the first night he's doing it right, second night he's doing it right, and then after that he can't do any better. Was it really Kedai to light the second Neir on the second night? Or maybe it's better to light just one all 8 nights and have 1 left over? Why would I say that? Well, if the reason to be Moisef HaHoylech is Keneged Yom HaYotzim, so then I hear what the Mishabura says, that 1 the first night is great, 2 the second night again is great, and then after that, okay, you can't, whatever, you know, yes, you do your best. But at least for 2 nights, you're able to do Keneged Yom HaYotzim, that's great. But if the reason why Basil said to be Moisef HaHoylech is Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin, that you want to go up and not down. So let's keep in mind, there's a whole sentence here. Malam B'Kodesh V'Ein Meiridin. It sounds like it's good to make your mitzvah bigger, but at all costs, don't ever make your mitzvah smaller. So if I would stay 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, I would never violate Ein Meiridin. But if I go from 1 to 2, and then the next night back down to 1, then I'm being Meiridin. If the whole reason to light the second Nair is Mishum Malam B'Kodesh, but the cost is that then tomorrow I have to be Meiridin, so maybe it's not Kedai. Maybe it's better, don't be Mala, so at least you won't have to be Meirid. So according to the Svar of Keneged Yom HaYotzim, then yeah, light 2 on the second night. But according to the Svar of Malam B'Kodesh V'Ein Meiridin, maybe you really shouldn't light 2 on the second night. And now, there's a little bit of a stira in Hilchasa and Hilchasa, because the Gros said that we really paskin like the time of Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin. That's why we're not we're willing to do both Yidurim together. At least we Ashkenazim, we do both Yidurim together because the Iker Tam is Mishum Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin. If that's the Iker Tam, then shouldn't we be a little more concerned not to light that second Nair on the second night if you're not going to be able to light 3 on, if you're not going to be able to light even 2? You're going to have to go back down to 1 on the third night. And maybe, so you had mentioned before, what, you know, when I was talking about the case where you have 10 neighbors, what are you going to do with the extra one? You said maybe use it on the last night. So in this case, where you have 9 neighbors, if you follow the time of Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin, maybe that would be a good solution to use that 9th neir on the 8th night. Do 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2. And then you're Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin. You're not Malam so much, okay, you don't have so many neighbors, but at least when you were able to, you were Malam. And you never married. That would seem to be a better use of 9 neiros. So what the Paiskim say, again, the Shabur according to the Chai Adam, makes great sense according to the time of Keneged Yom HaYotzim. But according to the time of Malam HaKadosh V'Ein Meiridin, it's very debatable. I say debatable, meaning there is a tzad to hear that maybe I mean, maybe what these Paiskim were thinking is that even though the reason Mishmal Mekhoi Shem Meridin, but when we're working in real time, you know, each day, you have to take into consideration what's the best that you could do for that day. And what will happen tomorrow? Well, that's tomorrow. I don't know. We'll worry tomorrow about tomorrow.
Does the Dirshu say anything on it?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I can't say for sure. I mean, I looked there. I don't remember seeing, you know, on Shabbos, I heard somebody say this Ha'ara, and it was new to me. So that's all I could say.
About this once, let's say somebody, you know, if he's going to fast on Shemidah, he's not going to be able to fast on Kippur.
Right.
So
there is
he's not fasting, you know, don't we say, no, you focus on that day.
Right, there's this idea of Ein L'mitzvah El Shata. Okay, you know, over there, it's a little bit easier. Over there, it's two different mitzvahs. Right, the makar of that, the there's a discussion in Rishonim in Mila. We know that Mila is Deicha Shabbos, but Machshiri Mila are not Deicha Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So if you need to do something, if you need to be Machal Shabbos to get the child ready, let's say the child needs some kind of a treatment beforehand, needs an injection to be able to do the Mila, the injection is going to be a Malacha, you're not allowed to do that before the Mila on Shabbos, because Machshiri Mila are not Deicha Shabbos. Let's say the child is healthy now, but to recover from the Mila, he's going to need a malacha. Now again, that's not the mila itself. It's really not Deicha Shabbos. So the Baal Amar said, you can't do that mila. To do a mila now, if you know that you're going to have to do a malacha afterwards to make the baby better, there's no head to do. Oh, so the Ramban says, yeah, but he's a chayla then. At that point, you're being doing it because pekuach nefesh. But the Baal Amar said, but you know now that if you do this mitzvah, you know, if you do the mila, then you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos for chol sheyesh by sakana. Of course, at that point, we won't tell you to let the baby die. You're allowed to do it. But why? What's the if machshir mila not teicha Shabbos? What's the heter to do the mila to force yourself to do a malacha, which you really shouldn't be allowed to do? To which the Ramban responds, ein la mitzvah ela shata. That when we don on a mitzvah, we can only don in the present, the here and now. So at the time of the Mila, there's nothing stopping us from doing the Mila, so we do it. And after that, you'll have a Chol Sheyesh B'Sakana. So, you know, then that'll be a new Shaila, and we don't have to look ahead now to what'll be then. So that's a little bit of a, you know, of a tricky get there. I mean, there are some situations where it's preposterous to say that you wouldn't say that if somebody has matzah, he buys matzah before Pesach, and let's say it's 2 days before Pesach, and he decides, you know what, I want to eat the matzah now. If I eat the matzah now, I'm not going to have it. Okay, I'll worry about it then. I'll eat my matzah now. And if I don't have any on Pesach, I'll be an oynes. We don't say that. So, you know, over here, there's a lot of factors that go in. Over here, also, you know, it's all the same mitzvah. It's not quite like the Tisha B'Av, I'm sorry, the Yom Kippur and the Sem Gedalia story that we were talking about. Also, the Mila and Pekuach Nefesh is different mitzvahs. Over here, it's all one mitzvah. So, yesh ladon. Yesh ladon, but akapanim, I think the at least a strong case could be made that if the Iker Tam is to light the second Nair is Mishmal Mekodesh, then the fact that it's going to force you to be Meirid and Mal Mekodesh Ve'in Meiridin is an argument against lighting that second Nair on the second night. Okay, that's how about the first case. Again, I said that the first place where Hilchas Chanukah intersects with scarcity and not having enough money or oil to go around. So is in this set of halachas about somebody who only has 9 neiros, who only has 10 neiros. Okay, then there's a more basic question of scarcity, and that is, let's say a person has no neiros, and he has no money, and he can't afford neiros. So ordinarily, right, if it was matzah, we would say, if he can't afford it, of course we do, you know, the mission does say that that Gavet Staka has to go into overdrive to see to it that everybody has matzahs for Leil Pesach. But if you don't have, you don't have. If you don't have tefillin, so you put it from tefillin. Tefillin are very expensive. You try to borrow from someone, but you don't have anyone to borrow from. And let's say you have a few dollars in the bank. You don't have to spend every last dollar to do a mitzvah. Hamavazbez, al yivazbez, yesu mechaymish. That's said not just for tzedakah. It's said on mitzvahs. It's brought down in I think that on all mitzvahs we have a rule, al yivaz b'zayis yesu mechaymesh. But then tafresh ayin aleph, we discover that ner chanukah is an exception to that. By ner chanukah, the halacha is that a person has to be meicher ksusay v'sheil al apsachem in order to buy oil for ner chanukah. That there's no such thing as I don't have enough money. You have to do whatever you can to get money for Ner Hanukkah, and even if it means parting with your last dollar or your last possession, you have to do whatever you can to get money for Ner Hanukkah.
Because of Pesumin Nisa?
Exactly, yes, because of Pesumin Nisa.
What's the second mitzvah that you have to sell your shirt to the Daily? There's another one.
Maybe near Shabbos. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. I'm not sure.
So would that mean any time you have an opportunity to do Pesumin Nisa, that supersedes other, or you should go out of the way, your way, to make sure you do?
Yeah, that gives such mitzvahs a mila over other mitzvahs. Yeah. It's Gemara Megillah, about Mikra Megillah, and also in Hanukkah, which we're going to come to a little bit later on, about Ner Hanukkah having priority over most other mitzvahs. Because of Pesumin Nisa.
So, but like the Seder night, we don't have the mitzvah.
Dal Kaisis, Mishum Pesumin Nisa. Right, and over there we do have the Salacha.
So the same, we have to go. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's that's actually where it's learned from.
That's what
it's like Chabad. Oh, four Kaisis on the car.
Right.
Dal Kaisis and Ner Hanukkah.
So now, this again, this also, you know, nowadays it's not so shiach to have a situation where somebody, you know, has to part with his last dollar to buy something that he could burn. Remember, you know, kol hashmonim are kashuf and Ner Hanukkah. It doesn't have to be olive oil, anything that could burn. So everybody could find something. And, you know, this halacha, the way that it's stated in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it's hard to imagine it being a geya bizman hazeh. But there are situations, I think we actually talked about this once, a different year, Hanukkah.
In the ghettos, they had these issues.
I guess over there, these types of issues certainly could have come up. In contemporary society, where this halacha would become negeya is with questions about the zman. What do I mean? If you're very machmir about the zman, the Gemara says the zman is mishtishkach. How much tichel regum and ashok? The Rambam says that's about a half an hour. So let's say, for argument's sake, that that's from 5:40. Let's say 5:15 is the zman. There's a lot of different sheets about what the zman is. Maybe we had a shir about this once, but let's say the zman is 5:15. And then so let's say, and the Rambam says that's k'may chatzi shah, so let's say it's until 5:45 or 6 o'clock, and you get out of work at 6 o'clock, and then you get on the train, you have a commute for an hour, you get home at 7 o'clock, so you miss the whole zman. So you have to give up your job. Tell your boss that I have to leave early. Your boss is going to say, you ain't hard. You told me, you know, Fridays in the winter, okay, but this is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, go take a hike. So the halacha would be that you have to give up your whole parnasa. For, you know, other mitzvahs, you wouldn't have to. But for the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, now, practically speaking, it's not going to happen. Because the main reason is because since our minig, the Balei Tais has already said that our minig is to light indoors. So we're not really concerned with Tichel Regem and Ashok. Tichel Regem and Ashok is when you're lighting in the Shuk. When you're lighting a Pesach Beitzeh, you have Mibachutz. But we're lighting indoors, so we can light after Tichel Regem and Ashok. So if you get home 7 o'clock at night, that's fine, no problem. Right, so I was going to say, you know, let's say a person, you know, that Tais allows you to light anytime, all night long. But let's say a person works a night shift and he's out all the whole night. It's the winter, so it'll be a very long night shift. But Kasha Famaisa, in Australia, Hanukkah is in the summer. And then it's a pretty short night. And he works the night shift. So then it's not hard to imagine that he might be at work for the whole Zman of Ner Hanukkah. And if he tells his boss that he has to take off, he's what, a whole week? He's not going to let him. And if the halacha is by this mitzvah, shayel al psachem, mechik tzus shayel al psachem, so meaning he has to give up his job. So practically, what kind of an AC could we give him? So you say, and correctly, that you should light al day shliach. Rather than give up your job, you don't have to light yourself. If you have somebody else at home, I mean, the whole mitzvah is ner shubesai. So one ner for the whole household is enough. It's only mahadrin, amadik ner l'chalachat v'achad. But the ikar mitzvah is one ner for the whole house. So you don't have to light yourself. Ask one of the other b'nei bayis to light for you. Let's say you don't have any b'nei bayis. Let's say you live all by yourself. So then there's such a thing as lighting al yedei shliach. you can ask a neighbor to come in and light for you. Which, again, obviously, these are all preferable to giving up your job. You know, you ask somebody to come in and light for you. It's a little bit complicated, the lighting on a day shliach. If it's not m'vnei bayis. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a very surprising chiddush from the Marach Erzerua. One of the Rishonim, the Marach Erzerua, he said a chiddush, and then but the Magen Avraham brings it down, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, the halacha, that although by most mitzvahs we say you could do a mitzvah like a shliach, but by Ner Chanukah, if you're going to make a shliach, the shliach can't say the bracha unless you're standing there.
Mm.
So if you're not there, then it's a little bit of a mystery why it should be. If I'm not mistaken, there's a tshuva in the Gris Moshe. I don't remember. There's also in the Mincha Shlema, he also has a tshuva about this. It's unclear. Is it because, one of the possibilities is that he was looking at it as a mitzvah shebegufay, and there's really no shlichus, but if you're there, somehow that gets around that problem. It's not. It's like you're doing it yourself. I think that's how Rav Moshe explained. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, of course there is shlichus, but somehow on this mitzvah, on some mitzvahs, the shlich can make a bracha, but on this mitzvah, for some reason, the shlich can't make a bracha. Different places have different ways of explaining it, but it's definitely, on the face of it, it's a Shvera Chiddush, but it's brought down lahalacha. So, if you ask a shliach to make the bracha, if this is really your only eitzah, again, obviously that's still preferable to giving up your job. You don't have to give up your job for the bracha, so that's still preferable. You ask somebody to go in, tell a neighbor to go in and light. And the eitzah to get around this problem that he can't make a bracha is tell him to light your neighbors right after he lights his own neighbors without being mafsik. Make a bracha, it's your next door neighbor. Makes a bracha on his neighbors, and then he walks straight into your house and like makes the bracha on your neighbors. So then that bracha, right, then he doesn't need to make another bracha, the one bracha goes on both.
Can't light at work?
No.
Why?
No, it has to be, because this is a mitzvah that has to be done in the home.
When we go away for a simcha for Shabbos, people light where they are.
If they're staying there and they're eating and they're sleeping there, so even though you don't live there permanently, but you live there for that Shabbos. But we have to be able to say that you live there.
But that's not
if it could be more pursuing Nisa to light in a
working environment.
That's not the kind of chachamim.
You live in a rural area, nobody walks by.
But still, you have a mitzvah to light in your house. The Chazal made this takana. The reason for the mitzvah is the Shum Pursu Minisa, but the takana was everybody has to light at home. There is a minhag Yisrael of lighting in a Beis HaKnesses for this reason, because there's so many people here, and that minhag Yisrael is so strong that we make a bracha on it. Theoretically, the lumdus of that might apply to some people at work if you live in a place with, if you work somewhere, but there's no such minhag Yisrael if you work in a shul. Okay. So, that's a situation where this halacha, I'm trying to come up with cases where this halacha could be negated. This meichik susa shel psachim. So a guy in Australia who works a night shift and can't find a shliach, he could really have this very difficult situation. But it's like I said, it's hard nowadays to find a real life scenario. But listen to this, last night, somebody told me, I think Lemaisa. here also, it wasn't a real emergency as maybe they thought it was, but somebody, it was a late night, they were planning on lighting when they came home they were out and they were going to be coming home late and it was going to be 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock and they were going to light when they came home, which is okay. It's not ideal, you're supposed to light on this man, but like Taisa says, people that light indoors, the Iker Pursuminis is for the B'nai Bayis. So the whole family was out at a Hanukkah party and they're going to be coming home at 12 o'clock because the Hanukkah party was, in Texas or Lakewood or something like that. So when they come home, they were going to light. That's fine. And their car got stolen. So now it was midnight and they were filing a police report. And now here's where, this was probably not true, but they were under the impression that if they wanted to get this back, they needed to take care of it immediately. They needed to get the police to come. They called the police, and they're waiting for the police to come. And if they would have just gone home and taken care of it tomorrow, then then they wouldn't have, you know, it would have been too late. It would have been lost. Yeah. I don't know if that's really true. I don't know if it makes any difference if you call the police b'shas ma'isa or later on, but okay, you could ask that to a lawyer. That was the assumption they were working with.
Stress-wise,
okay, right, I hear why they felt that way. So okay, so if the hours were ticking by, right, and it was 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and they're waiting for the cops to come, but if it was going to become, I don't know exactly what time was Netzach Hamma this morning, maybe 5:30, right? After 5:30, you missed the midst of Ner Chanukah. Right, what time? Huh?
I think it's later, a lot later.
A
little later.
Closer to 7, no? No, that's Nate's. I'm sorry, did I say Nate's? I'm sorry. I meant Alois HaShachar. So if Nate's is, what time is Nate?
Huh? Nate's is 7:10, Alois is 5:41.
5:41, okay. So at a certain point, they had to say, okay, for falling on the car. How much is the car? $20,000. But if in the midst of Ner Chanukah, you have to be Moichik Psusa V'Shayel Al HaPsachem. So even if, again, in their minds, if they don't stay till the police come, they're going to lose the car. But they, the midst of Ner Chanukah, you have to be Moichik Psusa V'Shayel Al HaPsachem. So wow. I think this would be a situation where you have to, you know, for any other mitzvah, you wouldn't have to do that. But Ner Chanukah has that milah. Okay, now another area in halacha where we find that the Chazal talked about the conflict between Ner Chanukah and gelt, right? The scarcity in Ner Chanukah. Is the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Gimel where it discusses if you only have, you're down to your last dollar and you can only afford to buy either Ner Chanukah or Ner Shabbos. That's a very geshmak. The Gemara calls it Ner Beis, Ner Chanukah of a Ner Beis, but that means Ner Shabbos. And the Gemara famously says that Ner Beis Odif Mishum Shalom Bayis, meaning, despite what I just said, that Ner Chanukah has Kedima over almost every other mitzvah, that's where we find this halacha. They have to be Meichik Susa V'Shayel Al HaPsachem Mishum Persuminisa. So you see that Persuminisa is such a great value, but Zakti Gemara, Shalom Bayis is an even greater value. What do we mean Shalom Bayis? That was Zakti Rashi, Shebnei Beis Mitzdarim Leishev V'Choshech. That it's very unpleasant to be in the dark and the people in the family are going to be upset. And that's the... That's what we gain with the Ner Shabbos. And since that mitzvah is going to provide us with Shalom Bayis, and let's clarify, as opposed to Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah won't provide us with Shalom Bayis. Why? Because you're not allowed to be Mishtamish La'ira, and more than that, you light it outside. In Medina de Gemara, you light it outside. So it's not going to do anything for finding your way around in the house, being able to eat your meal.
Got nothing to do with Tadir B'Shein or Tadir?
No. It's a good hara. Why didn't we bring that in? Right, because that would also give priority to Ner Shabbos over Ner Chanukah. But the Gemara says a different reason over here. The Gemara says because Shalom Bayis. So it's interesting that this is a very powerful statement. You know, in support of Shalom Bayis. You know, prioritizing. You know, demonstrating what a great. What a heavy weight it carries, that even though Ner Chanukah is Mishum Persuminisa is greater than almost all mitzvahs, but Shalom Bayis is greater than that. Where do we get this lesson in halacha? On Erev Shabbos Chanukah, right? On the day that you light Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. So it's a very beautiful halacha that the, you know, Shabbos Chanukah is, generally speaking, the shortest Friday of the year. Okay, let's get out of Australia. If you're still set in Australia for the previous Shabbat, no, come back to New York, right? So it's the earliest Lech Benchen of the year. Mm-hmm. Okay, add to that it's not just Lech Benchen, you have to light Hanukkah candles also. So that makes it a very pressured Friday. Add to that most people either are guests or are having guests. All right, families like to get together Shabbos Hanukkah. So you have guests arriving at the last minute, or you're on the road trying to get somewhere before the last minute. So, I tried your car so long. And that was in Australia.
put the Ner Shabbos by the window.
The Gemara in a few places talks about how Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, you know, it's not just in our own, from our own experience and in our own heads that Erev Shabbos is connected with stress. The Gemara says, you know, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, "Mamashkin nala tzedakah, va'afilu be'erev Shabbos," that a gabbai tzedakah is authorized to go confiscate people's property for tzedakah. If the gabbai tzedakah feels that a person needs to be giving more money for tzedakah, he's allowed to go take it away. Va'afilu be'erev Shabbos. What's the chiddush of va'afilu be'erev Shabbos? It's hilchas tzedakah. Zekh Rashi, even though people are so busy and stressed, like, why don't you come back another time? No. Even so, the gabbai tzedakah is allowed to come and take it. The story of Masechet Shabbos, I think on Daf Lamed or Lamed Aleph, I'm not sure. I think Daf Lamed. The Gemara tells a story about Hillel, what a great tzaddik Hillel was. That one time there was somebody that made a bet with his friend that I'll bet that I could get Hillel angry, right? And he said that he stood outside and he said, "Is Hillel here?" And he started asking the most ridiculous questions. That story was on Erev Shabbos. Hillel was getting ready for Shabbos, and I think that's obviously meant to make the story more dramatic. That was Erev Shabbos, and he was wasting his time. The Gemara Bava Kamma talks about how sometimes a person is potter for Nezikin on Erev Shabbos more than any other day of the week, because if a person's running through the marketplace, so really, you know, he's the Mashana, because you're not supposed to run through the marketplace unless it's Erev Shabbos. Then, you know, then you're allowed to run through it. If it causes crashes, it causes crashes. Everybody understands there's going to be some crashes. That's Gemara Hamaniach, right?
Yeah, it's just now.
Okay. If it causes a crash, it causes a crash. But it's Erev Shabbos. Everybody understands that.
In the Daf. It's 2 days ago in the Daf.
There's a Gemara. Everybody knows the Gemara in Shabbos where it says the two malachim come home with us on Leil Shabbos, and the malach, you know, if they find that everything is set up nicely, so the malach toiv says it should be like this, and if they find that everything is not set up nicely, so the malach ra says that it should be like this next week. So the Maram Shif says that the lashon of the pasuk surme rava asei toiv bakei shalom v'ret feyu. He says what the Gemara means when it talks about it, if it's set up nicely, if it's not set up nicely, it means if it's shalom bein ishal ishtai. That's in the lashon of the Gemara is shulchan aruch v'ner dolok amita mutzas. That all meaning the house is running and functioning smoothly because they're helping one another out. The shalom between really means that the shalom between the ish v'ishtai on Leil Shabbos. So then you get a bracha. So the Ram Shif says that Sur Meira, if you want to turn away from the Malach Ra, Vasei Toiv, and make him into a good Malach, right, that he should have to answer Amen to the bracha of the good Malach, Bakei Shalom V'Rei Fehu. Have a peaceful Erev Shabbos, and then when the Malachim come home, they're both going to be giving you nice brachas rather than the other way around. So you have all these Mamari Chazal that talk about Erev Shabbos being the crunch time for Shalom Bayis. Mm-hmm. And in that, you know, and it's there, and Dafka on the shortest Erev Shabbos of the year with Ner Chanukah and everything, that's where Chazal told us, you know, you want to know how Chash of Shalom Bayis is, that it overrides even Pesumin Issa. The Ner Chanukah V'Ner Beise, Ner Beise Adif, brings out this message in a very powerful lesson. That's one of the underrated themes of Hanukkah. This statement that Chazal is making about Shalom Bayis in the context of Erev Shabbos Hanukkah. There's, you know, that Gemara. There's another pshat in that Gemara. The Gemara that says Ner Hanukkah v'Ner Beisei, Ner Beisei Adif Mishum Shalom Bayis. So Rashi says, "What does it mean Mishum Shalom Bayis?" Because the Ner Shabbos, it makes it light, and if it's not light, so everybody's going to be in a bad mood. But they base him mitzdarim leishiv b'choishach. The Meiri says he thinks that maybe there's a different pshat. In most houses, it's not a halacha that it has to be this way, but the minhag Yisrael universally is that Ner Shabbos is lit by the wife, even though it's a mitzvah on every individual, and somebody has to do it for the household. If the man could do it, that's fine. But the minhag is that the women do it. The Mishnah says that, you know, it's one of the three mitzvahs of women. Right? Like Hafreshes Challah. Hafreshes Challah also is not a mitzvah that officially is a woman's mitzvah. If a man is baking bread, he also has to be Hafreshes Challah. But it's associated with women, right? Hadlakas and Ner, Hafreshes Challah, and Nida. are the shalish mitzvahs that are most associated with Nashim. So Ner Shabbos is your wife's mitzvah. Ner Chanukah, the minig is Ner Rishu Beisoi, and even the Mahadrin that I'm out like L'cholachad V'echad, but the minig is that in a married couple, only the husband lights, because Ishtei Kegufoi, so the husband lights for both of them. So Zok the Meiri, Ner Chanukah and Ner Beis, you're down to your last dollar, and you could spend it on your mitzvah or on your wife's mitzvah. So which one do you do? Ner Beis Adif, Yishum Shalim Bayis. Then you spend your last dollar on what your wife needs rather than on what you need. That's the shot in this Gemara, Yishum Shalim Bayis. And then, you know, we were saying that this whole, all of these scenarios are not so negay nowadays because, you know, when's it ever going to come up that you're down to your last dollar and you need it for oil? But this is not just, you know, it's the last candle. And you know, the Gemara's case is you only have one candle. But you can have a, you only have one umbrella, and it's either going to be for your hat or your wife's shetel. You only have one little bit of milk, and it's for your coffee or your wife's coffee. You only have one few minutes, and you could use it on your own tzrachim or your wife's tzrachim. So this can almost happen every day. This reading of the Gemara, Ner Beisei v'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beisei Adim Mishum Shalom Bayis. It's a very relevant halacha. So, huh?
No, don't mess with the
call.
Don't tell
me. Okay. So it's like, you know, I'm saying it's a men's only audience here. I can speak freely, right? Okay, good. You should all play it for your wives. So that's the Meir. It's a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. That Mishum Shalom Bayis, the Ner Shabbos has Kedima over the Ner Chanukah. Now, there's another area in Halacha where we find an intersection between Chanukah and Gelt. The Bishabur brings down from the Prima Gadim that Noigim Haniim Lasaiba Bala Psachim Bimei Chanukah. That Chanukah is a time for tzedakah. That there's a minug that the Aniim who need tzedakah, they go around collecting, especially on Chanukah. This, I don't know if this is really so well known nowadays. Nowadays on Purim, we have this association Purim. There's Matanis Lav Yainim. On Chanukah, it hasn't really stuck, this minog, but this is...
Our mailboxes are all full.
Okay, right, that's true, right?
Where is it broken?
In the Shabura in Tefer Shayin Aleph brings it down from the Prima Gadim. That the Niyim go collecting, especially on Chanukah, because there's an expectation that people are going to be giving more tzedakah.
Because they need neighbors for Chanukah.
Okay. I think because they're, you know, it doesn't say there's a mitzvah to give extra tzedakah, but it says that there's a minig that aniyim, which means that there's an expectation that people are going to be giving more tzedakah on Chanukah. So I one time, so you know, this what is more well known nowadays is that people give gifts of money or other gifts on Chanukah, right? Chanukah gelt. Mm-hmm. Is a widespread minhag, has been for some time. Chanukah gifts maybe is an American thing in particular, which maybe we borrowed from the surrounding culture. But Chanukah gelt is an old minhag, and it seems that it's probably somehow a corruption of this minhag that the Mishmur refers to. Noigim aniyim l'sabi v'al apsachem. So people were giving out money on Chanukah. Nowadays, okay, maybe still people are giving tzedakah, but I don't know if that's more than the rest of the year, but people give money to their children, to their grandchildren, that's Chanukah gelt. That does seem to be a Chanukah minhag. So I'm going to just end off with a cute story. I was one time, a number of years ago, I was giving shir in Landers, and we were learning this Mishnah Berurah, Noigim Aniyim L'Sabi V'Al Apsachem, and I shared with them that thought, that this is probably the makor of the inyan of Chanukah gelt, that it somehow got... you know, derived from this minute. And in the back of the room, I hear a guy go, "Oh!" Like something just dawned on him. I said, "What?" It was a Persian bachar. "Adam, what happened?" So he said, "You mean gelt means money?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, what did you think it meant?" He said, "I always thought it meant chocolate."